Well, hello, everybody. This is Ron LeGrand, and I have a very special guest on the other end of the line today. His name is Lou Brown, and if you've been in real estate for more than 20 minutes, you've probably already heard that name because he's a legend, most certainly around his home and pretty much everywhere else. So how are you, Mr. Brown?
I'm doing fantastic, Ron. How about you?
I got up this morning, so everything is cool. let me tell them a little bit about you because they're probably not going to believe anything you tell them about you. And Lou did send me a list of questions unbeknownst to him. I'm probably going to ignore most of them and create my own, but
that's fine.
Just to make you feel good, I will take some of your bio here and use that. Because I happen to know Lou's bio pretty much because he and I kind of grew up together. He started about 3 years earlier than me, but has really accomplished a lot. Been at it how many years now?
40 years, brother.
40 years. Oh, my God. You're old, man. You're really old. Okay. And ran the Georgia Rhea group for quite a few years because that's where he and I did a lot of work together way back then. And you're actually the founding president of the National Real Estate Investor Association as well. And your name is trademarked. I guess that makes you important, huh? mine is too, but I'm only in America. You're in 15 foreign countries. Why on earth would a guy need his, I guess you work in other foreign countries still, do stuff there?
I don't work there. People buy my stuff here and take it there and put it to work in their country.
Yeah, or try to copy it, huh? Yeah.
I hope not.
I get it. All right. So, look, why don't you give us a rundown on why somebody should be listening to this call. I know it's all about trust. Lou is actually the trust king. And I know you've all heard about a land trust, but I brought Lou on to talk about other types of trust that I think you need to have in your life. A, because they're so bloody simple. B, because they're effective and they work, and most people are clueless about them. So our objective here today is to make you unclueless, at least get you thinking about why you need trust in your life, and maybe we can actually encourage you to actually do something about it right away. Chances are slim of that, Lou. You know that, though, right? But we're going to give it our best shot.
I hope that, you know, when we give people the information that they really do need, it encourages them to go ahead and take action. And, you know, it's so exciting because you'd say, how could trust be exciting? You know, it's such a dry subject. But yeah, when you really get into it, there are so many benefits that you can get from trust that you can't get from any other entity. And I get excited about that because most people don't know that, including attorneys and CPAs and financial planners. They just simply don't know the power of the trust.
Absolutely.
So when we can bring this information to people and just really like expose it to them, then they go, aha, that's something I need to know more about.
And the only reason we know all this crap is because we had to implement it over the years from personal pain. So you guys listening have no idea how much the training cost us to be qualified to bring this stuff to you today. So, Lou, you're going to be talking about, just tell us what kind of trust we're going to talk about.
Okay, so the type of trust I'm talking about today are land trusts and personal property trusts. So there's about 30 different kinds of trusts out there in the world, and different ones do different things for different purposes. But in our case, in real estate, we can take advantage of the benefits that are built into land trusts that allow us really to do things that the other trusts don't allow us to do and other entities don't allow us to do.
And we probably ought to start off with making the case that trusts do not replace LLCs.
No, trusts are in addition to other things that the other entities do. I've discovered about 30 different benefits that you can get from these types of trusts, the land trust and personal property trust, that you can't get from any other entity. So the idea is really to implement your trust as the first line of defense. And then as you acquire equity, then you can plug in other entities to further protect yourself. But in the first place, then we can go ahead and put these to work right away. So, like, I call it the four P's: profits, privacy, protection, and probate avoidance. Those elements are really what our land trust and personal property trust do for us that other types of trusts and even other types of entities can't do for us.
So we're not talking about an entity to do business in here. We're talking about entities to hold things in. And we hear a lot that some attorneys confuse these trusts with trusts like the Massachusetts Business Trust and others where they're actually set up to run a business. Is that correct?
That's correct. So these are title holding trusts, and not only for real estate, but also a separate kind of trust called a personal property trust for your vehicles, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, bank accounts, CDs, CDUs, mobile homes, motor homes, gun collections, coin collections, really literally everything else in your life can be held in a variety of trusts, and they are not held in your own name. So if anyone gets a judgment against you personally, then they really can't touch any of these assets easily.
I think we need to say that again, Lou, because I know first time I started hearing about this stuff, it took about six or seven times for it to sink in. And I'm guessing our listeners are no more intelligent or no more quick to grasp this stuff than I was. So let's make this point real clear. And that is that, A, you don't want anything in your own name. And that's really the big point here with trust. Get stuff out of your name. Because if you get attacked, they can easily grab it.
The funny thing is, and sad thing really, is in America, it is so easy for people to sue. So for $60 to a few hundred dollars, someone can go down to the local courthouse and file a lawsuit. And that's the sad thing, because it's really keeping a lot of attorneys in business in this country. Mm-hmm. And you look at, we are only 5% of the world's population, but 95% of the world's litigation. And it's because we've allowed attorneys to have such an easy ride here, and the public to have such an easy ride to go after people. And so we need to think ahead and really say, okay, what is it that we need to do to protect ourselves from these predators that are out there?
And that boy, they're
really
there. Mm-hmm.
Oh God!
I had a case one of my managers is suing me because they thought she should have been paid overtime, and here's the, which they shouldn't have been. They were on salary in a management position, which the law says I can put them on salary and not have to pay them overtime. But here's the rub: she can sue me, but I can't collect attorney's fees from her.
Exactly.
Who makes up these dumbass laws anyway? Got to be
it's
lawyers.
All those lawyers that got elected to Congress.
I guess. All right. So in a nutshell, we want to use trust to keep stuff out of our name, so that it's not easy to find what we own in the trust. But we probably should follow that by, that is not an ironclad asset protection device. And you said it. It truly is only the first line of a defense. Get stuff out of your name so it's not easily attachable. And you also said, if a judgment comes down against me and something is in my name on public record, it'll automatically attach to that thing, and I'll probably lose that thing, correct?
Exactly right. So the idea is, when something is in a different entity name, like a trust, then that asset can actually be sold, even if you're under attack, even if you're under a lawsuit, or even if somebody has a judgment against you personally. Yeah. That asset can still be sold, and it can still be liquidated, and you can still receive the money.
Yeah, because I'm repeating myself here, because I know I have to. We got to get this clear, because people grasp it slowly. A judgment against you does not attach to a thing you own in a trust. You don't own the thing. The trust owns the thing. You just happen to own the trust, which, of course, could be attacked and may well very be attacked by a good attorney, but when you get a judgment against you, that does not prohibit your ability to liquidate whatever you have in any kind of a trust. Does that pretty much say it?
Okay. Exactly right, Ron. And the thing that I think is important to say to people is, look, we don't do this to do bad business and take advantage of people and hurt people. We plan to do good business. And there are bad people out there. There's predators. And what we have to do is plan in advance for the eventuality that someday we're going to be involved in a lawsuit. The statistics are that 1 in 4 in this country will be involved in a lawsuit during their business lifetime. And so it's important to really think about, okay, it's not if but when this is going to happen. And particularly if you're really going to do some business, if you're really going to buy and sell some properties, the risks go up.
Any business.
What you want to do is think. Any business. Not even just real estate.
In other words, if you're doing anything and you're growing anything and you're actually creating anything, it's very likely somebody's going to want whatever you got, because litigation truly is a business model for a lot of people in this country today.
It's sad. Sad but true. And so you think outside the box and say, now, wait a minute, if I'm just a manager of assets rather than an owner of assets, then I've separated myself from a lot of the liability that can happen with that asset.
Yeah.
So the idea is, own these things. Now, one of the great benefits of a trust is that you can name the trust anything you choose. Now, this is unlike what most attorneys know, because if you were getting a living trust, they would make it your name living trust or your name family living trust. In the case of a land trust, we can name the trust anything we choose. So we can be very creative in that way. We can name it the Sister Mary Frances Trust. We can name it the Native Preservation Trust. There's just so many different creative things that you can name it, and it really throws people off the scent.
Well, give me some other benefits.
Ownership records.
Okay. Give me some other benefits.
So benefits are huge, because really when you go through ownership, first of all, there's transactional privacy. So let's say that you had 100 different deals in the last year. Well, no one would know that you'd done 100 different deals in the last year, because each one of them would be in a different trust. Unless you run your mouth and tell other people that you did this, they really don't know. So you get privacy on public record because of those different ways of ownership.
Right.
Another benefit is, of course, what we were talking about, judgment. You make yourself essentially judgment-proof, because the assets that you own a beneficial interest in are not on public record. So somebody gets a judgment against you personally, they can't get at those things.
Right.
And then, you know, there's many other benefits too. So as we think about control without ownership, that's really what a trust is. Because as a beneficiary, you control the trustee, but your name is buried. It's in the document called the trust, but it's not on public record. So the only thing
that's
on public record is the name of the trust. Yeah, and that's in your possession. So
nobody sees that. The trust is in your possession. Nobody knows who the beneficial interest is. That's important. Okay, here's another benefit that is why I do stuff in personal property trust, and that's ease of transfer. For example, let's say I want to buy an automobile and put it in a personal property trust, and now I want to sell it to someone who gets it, or to a kid or something. I just transfer the trust. I don't have to do anything downtown. Therefore, there is no sales tax to pay. And let's say I want to buy a piece of property in a land trust, same thing, which could be huge. I can transfer my land trust without paying that transfer tax. So I'm transferring personal property and not real property. And in other words, I don't have any transfer costs. So ease of transfer is another one. Is there any more we should add before we move on?
Well, that's an important thing for people to understand, because this type of trust, again, is different than other trusts. So what happens inside of a land trust is it converts real estate interests into personal property interests. So when you're a beneficiary of a land trust, you're really the beneficiary of personal property, not of real estate. So that's the reason, as Ron points out, that's the reason that you can go ahead and transfer that property, because you're transferring the beneficial interest in the trust. You're not really transferring the property itself.
Trust owns
house. It's already in the trust.
Beneficiary owns trust. Right. Okay.
Exactly.
In that light, The word land trust might be new to some of our listeners. So basically, it's kind of easy to figure out what's in a land trust. My guess is there would be a land attached to it. So that's the that's a trust we use to take title to houses.
Correct? Yep. If it has a legal description, then it can go into a land trust. Anything that doesn't have a legal description, that can go into personal property trusts. So each asset that's not land can go into separate personal property trusts.
All right, give me a list of what you would put in personal property trust.
Well, as I was saying earlier, stocks.
Well,
bonds,
basically, it's everything that isn't
land.
Funds.
Exactly. It's just it's anything in your world that has value. You wouldn't want to waste time that doesn't have value. But if it has value and you want to pass it on to your heirs without the expense of probate, which is another big benefit of trust that you can't get with any other entity. So now, and let me say that again, because that's a really, really important point that others, you know, say, oh, well, I think I'm going to do LLCs. I'm not going to worry about those trusts because it's too much trouble. They really don't understand what they're doing. Because the fact is that when you place property into trust for estate planning purposes, you can pass that asset on to your heirs instantly at your death. And now our listeners should really understand that that talks to their parents too. So if they help their parents place their property into trust for estate planning purposes, then that's going to pass to them without having to go through the pain, the suffering, and the expense and delay of probate. And probate is a very costly and a very confusing and a very time-delaying thing. And that can be completely eliminated when you use trusts.
So that all that means is filling out a simple trust agreement and naming the beneficiary. And now when the death occurs, nothing changes. Nothing happens. There's nobody to even tell about it. Because if
well,
your parents
they
don't
need
own
to set it up correctly because the paperwork does matter, and the paperwork
does
have to be set up correctly.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that we teach is, hey, this is step by step. This is how you do it, and this is exactly how you word it so that at the death of the primary beneficiary, it automatically passes to the successor beneficiary without having to go to court. No need for judges, no need for delay, no need for attorneys. No need for expense either. It automatically passes the instant of the death of the primary beneficiary. Very important point.
Yep, with no tax.
No tax, baby.
No tax. Okay. Because,
it's a gorgeous thing.
When you put stuff in the, well, we're talking we're different kinds of trust here, but in fact, we probably ought to start with, we're talking about land trust, we're talking about personal property trust. Are we going to have a discussion about living trust today?
We can, but I usually encourage people to just get their heads wrapped around putting the real estate into land trusts, and that means their own personal residence, too. That's another question that comes up. Hey, should I put my own personal house into a trust? Absolutely, positively, for what we just talked about, probate avoidance. If you don't move your asset out of your name into the trust name, then there will be probate on that asset, I promise you. There's also probate on LLCs and corporations and limited partnerships and personal interests. Well, all of that can be avoided when you set the trust up the correct way. And, of course, the paperwork does matter, and saying the right things in the trust matters for that to work. And that's one of the things that we teach. So, you know, step by step, there are things to, you know, follow, and I've got a guidebook on that, in fact, but it really just steps you through that process. And once you set it up the correct way, and there's a forms disk and all that sort of thing, boom, you've got the ability to reproduce that. So each asset then can be set up under a separate trust, and you can have even separate beneficiaries on that asset. So getting your head around putting your real estate into land trusts and then putting personal property into personal property trust, then we can go deeper into the estate planning and adding on other entities like LLCs and corporations and the tax benefits that those can create and the protection benefits that those can create as well.
Not on this call.
Not on this one.
Another point, beyond estate planning, the asset protection part of putting your properties into trust is probably more important to you right now while you're still alive I get this question a lot, should I put my home into a land trust? And my answer would be, why wouldn't you? And then why would you? Why would you is, A, a judgment against you won't attach to your home. All right, and then in some states you'll hear, well, they can't take my home away from me for a judgment, like Florida. Yeah, but the judgment still attaches to your house. So now what happens when you get ready to sell your house? You become the stuckee, and you got to deal with it then. However, if the house is not in your name, no judgment can attach, so it's not an issue. You can sell your house without having to ask somebody's permission or beg for forgiveness. Remember, you don't own the house. You own the trust that owns the house. And also then there's a homestead exemption we hear a lot about. Like in Florida, I get a big old whopping $500 a year saving for my taxes if it's in a, if it's homestead exempted. Well, I can tell you that all you have to do is put a little paragraph right on the deed when you put your property into a trust, and you'll get a homestead exemption. And let me go ahead and put that paragraph out there, Lou, so anybody who cares can get it down. I can think of Texas right now and Florida. What other homestead exemption states can you think of, if any?
Well, there's many homestead exemption states. What we typically do is apply for it separately through the tax office in January of the following year, and then it's not even on the deed.
Well, all I do is put on the deed that the beneficial interest of this trust resides in this property as their personal residence. And I've never had a problem with it in 35 years. I always get homestead exemption.
Can do that. Can do that. For me, as a privacy nut, what I'm looking at is somebody could read that deed and say, well, there it is right there. There's the beneficiary's name, and they're occupying the property.
No,
so
it doesn't say who
separately,
the beneficiary is.
Maybe not in Florida, but in other states, you can definitely
the seller is
put yourself
the property
in a position.
Well, if you're not careful and if you don't understand what you're doing, but the seller is deeding the property to a land trust. There's no beneficiary anywhere on the deed.
Understood.
Okay.
And if there's a separate application for homestead exemption, that's where it would show up. So that's one of the things that we do separate from the deed. And it's just one of the big benefits of trust, that you can still keep your homestead exemption, you can still keep your tax savings, you can still keep your insurance savings as well, because all the things that you might be thinking you can't do because you put it into a trust, you absolutely can do. And all the benefits that you would get as an individual keeping it in your own name, you can absolutely get inside of a trust as well.
Well, Lou, what if I put it into a land trust and somebody convinces me I've done something evil? What happens?
Well, first of all, they'd be listening to the wrong person, because there's nothing evil about a trust. In fact, trust came over on the Mayflower.
Yep, they did.
For a while.
actually, they were around long before that, sir. They were actually in the Roman Empire days.
Exactly. So going all the way back to 51 BC is when trusts were originated by Julius Caesar. And the concept of trust, LLCs are actually the new kid on the block. They've only been around about 100 years. But these things have been around thousands of years. So when people kind of get their head around that the best entity on the planet and the most secretive entity on the planet is trust.
That's
so
a fact.
You can, I guarantee you, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and all the rest of them
are using
trust for sure.
Okay. By the way, we better point that out. Even with an LLC, folks, you still got to tell the state who the owners of the LLC are and who the officers of it are. There's no such registration with a trust. So pure privacy.
So people can go right to the Secretary of State's website and look up that LLC and find out exactly who the formers are and who the president and all the other officers are. And they can't do that with a trust. It's a private matter.
That's right.
Because it's a contract. It's not an entity in and of the state. It's a contract between parties.
And that's exactly the first thing any predator attorney will do before they file suit. And that'll be part of the questions that you have to answer. Do you own this LLC? Okay, blah, 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 blah. All right, Lou.
Well, the next big one.
Okay. How do I put a property into a land trust, and where am I going to find an attorney to do it for me?
Well, first of all, you can do it yourself. That's the good news, is that using a form very similar to the deed you have on your property right now. You use that same form, and now mm-hmm. you become the grantor to the trust, and the grantee becomes the trust name. So you simply record a new deed at the courthouse, deeding it from your name to the new buyer, the trust. And essentially, there's been a sale, but you can actually fill out the document that it's a gift. So you're gifting it from yourself to yourself, essentially to your trust, and mm-hmm. as a result, there's no transfer tax. Now, that's a big deal. So we were talking earlier about homestead exemption and homestead tax. There's a different kind of tax when you transfer a deed. It's called transfer tax. That can be avoided when you're placing your property into your trust.
Yes, and in Florida it's called dock stamps, but mm-hmm. and it might be minimal. I think I got to pay about $20 to record a deed. I got to pay $7 because dock stamps are $7 per thousand, plus mm-hmm. the cost of recording. I got $20 to record a deed to a property. But Lou, don't I need an attorney to fill out a deed to put my house in a trust?
Well, you're welcome to if you want to, but you don't have to.
Attorneys have to eat too, don't they?
Well, they eat too much.
No, they breed too much, Lou. They breed too much. They don't eat too much.
That's true. No, this is really a simple matter. Now, one thing that I've developed is an affidavit of trust that we not only record the deed, we also record an affidavit that eliminates a lot of questions later. When you go to sell the property is when issues come up with the transfer of the deed. So let's say that you're doing a flip property and you're buying it into the trust. Now you're selling it to somebody new, and they're going to look at the title and they're going to ask questions about the trust. So what I created is a document that really overrides all of those questions. And I call it affidavit of trust, and basically attach it to the deed and record that along with the deed at the courthouse. So then later when we go to sell the property, they ask questions and we say, have you read the affidavit of trust? And they say, no, because they never read anything. And then you go back and say, okay, well, those questions are answered right there in the affidavit. So they go back and read it and go, wow, that's wonderful. That's perfect. We can go ahead and transfer this deed to the new buyer and provide title insurance, more importantly, to the new buyer. That's what they're really looking at, is they want to know what happened while that property was in trust. Well, the affidavit overrides that.
In my experience, what they want to know is who's given this trustee the right to sign this deed, because the trustee does sign the deed. And usually what we give them is a copy of the trust. The trust is dead anyway when the house is deeded out of it. By the way, one house, one trust. We did not cover that. One house, one trust, one egg, one basket. So let me go back to my deed here for a minute. Let me just go through. Should I get an attorney to put my house into a land trust? Well, to put your house in a land trust, you have to fill out the deed and record it. So let's talk about what's on a deed. There's the seller, that would be you. Then there's the buyer, it would be your land trust. And then there's a trust number, and I use the house number. Do you?
No, I use a variety of naming strategies because, you know, if you do everything the same way, then they can connect the dots and ask questions about things they wouldn't otherwise ask questions about in a lawsuit and a deposition. So I like to use sometimes names, sometimes numbers. I use a whole variety of naming strategies.
But you still need a number. Trust number calls for a trust number on the deed. I use the house number so I can immediately recognize what house is in this trust just by using that number. And then there's a legal description, which, of course, you get right off of your other deed. And then there's a place for there's a place for the date. So far, if you think you need an attorney, then go for it. And then there's a place for the seller to sign, and there's a place for witnesses and a notary, and that's it. That's all there is on a deed. Well, plus there has to be or should be a return to, prepared by and returned to up in the corner, so the courthouse knows where to send the deed after it's been recorded. And if you can pull that off, then you don't need an attorney to put a house into a land trust. And again, the worst thing that can happen if somebody convinces you you've done something evil is the trustee can deed it right back to you just as easily. One question we didn't answer is, can the bank call a loan do?
Okay, now that's a whole new wonderful world that trust can provide that no other entity can provide, and that's the ability to avoid the due upon sale clause. And the due upon sale clause is a real thing. It's been with us since 1982 when they passed the Garn-St. Germain Federal Depository Institutions Act, and they gave the banks the right to put the due upon sale clause in the mortgage. Well, when they did that, they also created an exception, and that means when you place your property in trust for estate planning purposes, essentially the lender is prohibited from calling the loan due. And that is a really cool thing, because what we do is work with sellers, and then we have the seller place their property into trust, and then we have them transfer that beneficial interest to our trust, and we basically control both sides of the transaction so that nobody can see what happened in that transaction, and the lender cannot call the loan due. So now we've avoided going to the bank, qualifying for loans, spending points and closing costs, and simply taking over the existing loan on the property and continuing to make payments or reinstating payments, whatever the case may be with that particular deal. We just avoided going to the bank and spending a fortune.
Right. And banks can't call them due, guys. Challenge it if you want. I've literally got letters from banks that students have asked permission, and they come back and cite the Garn-St. Germain Act. So you don't need to worry about it. You don't need anybody's permission to put a house in a land trust, except maybe possibly your spouse. And, of course, your spouse won't know what the heck you're talking about, so don't even worry about that. All right, Lou, you sometimes hear people say, well, my attorney said that we can blow through trust. Comment.
Yep. So the truth is that it's going to cost them a lot of money to blow through that trust. And what they might find is that they didn't find what they thought they were going to find, which is the beneficiary's name. They're going to find the beneficiary's name, but the beneficiary may not be you. The beneficiary could be a personal property trust. The beneficiary could be an LLC. The beneficiary could be a whole variety of things that would cost them another fortune to find out who the beneficiary of that is. So one of the things that attorneys, of course, don't tell their clients is that this could be not only costly, but extremely costly. And so we kind of get there ahead of them, and we think ahead knowing that that's exactly the game they can play, and then knowing that it's going to be extremely costly for somebody. And typically, people give up on lawsuits when it becomes too costly for them. Far easier for you to just leave the property in your own name and see what happens. And of course, the attorneys never talk about that. They just say, oh, well, if you want to put it in trust, we could just blow right through that. Not so easy.
Well, that is true. So you have a choice, make it hard or make it easy. I mean, it doesn't cost anything to make it hard, so you decide. And, you know, that's another point we better discuss here right now, and that's listening to everything you hear from totally unqualified producers of that information, because it is endless. And, in fact, if you line up 10 attorneys and ask them the same question, you might get 10 different answers.
So true. I've been using trust, Ron, since 1985, and of course I've been teaching them since 1987. I've got licensees in all 50 states using them, and every kind of challenge you can imagine has already occurred, and we've watched what happens to people that didn't use the trust, and we've watched what happens to people that did use the trust, and I can tell you, it's a really good move to use the trust, because the attorneys, first of all, they don't really understand them fully, so they really don't know how to attack them in the way they could attack them in a lot of cases. And then in other cases, they can't get through them because the client's just not going to spend the money to do so.
And in a lot of states, I'm going to make another point. Let's say you're married and husband and wife both own the trust. In many states, an attack against one cannot affect the asset of the other anyway. So even if they find out who owns the trust, they can't do a damn thing about it because they're not coming after both parties.
And more importantly, they've spent a fortune to do it, And because you took that step of placing it into trust, you still created your estate plan, and you still are going to avoid probate no matter what. That would be the first and primary reason I would use a trust, to avoid probate. The second is the privacy that you can get, the transactional privacy, people not knowing what you own, which is a smart thing in America. And then, of course, the profits you can get from transferring the properties through the use of the avoidance of the due on sale clause. So there's really some very powerful things you can get that you can't get from any other entity.
All right, Lou, what if I'm making a private loan, or I'm buying tax liens, or I'm receiving any kind of payments, like I sell a house with owner financing? What kind of trust do I use to own that note or that debt instrument?
So that's a personal property trust, which is different than a land trust, because what you're obtaining is personal property. It's paper. So paper can be named as an asset in the personal property trust. And so separate from a piece of real estate, which would have the legal description as the asset in the land trust, the personal property trust names whatever the personal property is. In that case, it would be this particular note on this particular property in this particular location. That's the asset of the personal property trust.
Even more importantly, it keeps off of public record who is the owner of that incoming note. Therefore,
exactly,
it's not going to be easy to attack. And let's just say now that you're not using the trust because you're not listening to anything we say, and you take that note in your own name, and now a judgment comes against you, your lawyer is going to have their lawyer is going to have heart palpitations, because all he's got to do is get a judge to sign the order, and you no longer own that note anymore. I mean, it's just that simple. When they get a judgment against you and they find this note on public record, which they'll be aware of before they even get the judgment, that note now belongs to them, and they'll contact the borrower and tell them to send the payments to them from that point on. So you don't ever, ever, ever want to own any kind of an item, that, especially one that produces revenue or one that's easy to sell in your own name on public record. Which brings me to bank accounts, Lou. How do we own bank accounts?
Oh,
the easiest
baby,
thing.
Baby, sweetie, honey.
Yeah,
it's a new world. I've had my bank account in trust since around 1985, and I've been signing, of course, my name, as trustee for many, many years. And what happens is that you, as trustee, is really a different being on the planet than you as an individual. So what happens is that your money is separated from you. And do they set these accounts up only every day at the bank? And are there steps to take so that you don't have to reveal all your private information? The answer is yes. So you want to go in with, not with your Social Security number, but with an EIN number, which we tell you how to get from the IRS, and then you're able to use that number to open the bank account and be the trustee of the bank account.
But you can't be the trustee and the beneficiary both. How do you handle that?
Well, you can if it's a distribution account. So in other words, if you're not planning to keep a lot of money in there, then it distributes out to the beneficiaries of the trust. Now, if the beneficiary of the trust is an LLC, then you're going to be distributing out the proceeds or the profits to that LLC, and then it's going to process its money through its account.
All right,
but
so
in the meantime, with your trust bank account, you're receiving all your rents, you're receiving all your incomes, and you're paying all your bills out of that account too. So property taxes, mortgage payments, every different kind of bill, contractors that come along with your real estate, you'll be paying those right out of that account.
Well, I was referring to your personal account.
Okay. So if you are the beneficiary of the trusts, then you can literally leave the money right there in that account and pay your personal bills out of there as well, because that is your management account. You're managing
your personal
real
account.
Estate through there as
no,
well
no, no,
as
No.
I'm
talking about your
bills.
Personal
yeah.
account. I'm not managing real estate.
Mm-hmm.
the account that you go to the movies on or go to dinner on or whatever.
Right.
Okay.
It can be managed.
The account that you and Janice have that she is in total control of, that account.
Right. Exactly
so
right.
You can own that in a personal property trust, but if you're the beneficiary, then wouldn't you suggest having a different trustee?
Not really. Not if that is your personal account that you're writing your checks on, then you would need that trustee to actually be signing those checks. And,
right.
Of course, you want
to have
management over your money, so you want to have you as the trustee and the beneficiary of that particular account. Now, when it comes to real estate, you definitely want to have a different trustee than yourself if
right.
you're the beneficiary.
The
but when
is,
you're processing money,
yeah.
you can be both the trustee and the beneficiary.
Well, the truth is it's a bank account. It's a simple bank account. The only time it's even an issue is somebody or wherever attack you and find out the trustee and beneficiary were the same, at which point the account can be emptied real fast and be totally worthless. So it's not a big deal. But I probably shouldn't
before
even
you would answer that question at the deposition, there would be no money in that account. That's correct.
Correct. What happened to it? I spent it. Up yours. Because there's really not a thing they can do about it. I spent the money to live, man. Go away. All right.
That's exactly right.
I think I got to bring up the tenants by the entirety issue here. Well, since we're having this conversation, not apply to you in Georgia, but it applies in 20-some-odd other states. And if you're married, if you're not married, this doesn't apply to you. But tenants by the entirety, or TBE, is the best way to own trust if you are married, because it is truly, totally impenetrable by predators if you live in one of the states that tenants by the entirety applies. And you go on Google and just type in tenants by the entirety states, and there the states will pop up. There's a lot of states you can own everything tenants by the entirety, and there's some you can only own real estate in. Florida happens to be one that I can own both in. And I got to tell you, it saved my bacon. Because predators, even when they find out what I own, can't touch them simply because it's an undivided asset. Tenants by the entirety is always owned 100% by both husband and wife and not divided. Therefore, they can't take the asset because of their after one person. Now, of course, if they get a judgment against husband and wife, it's totally worthless because they'll take whatever husband and wife owns. But just do your homework and investigate tenants by the entirety. If you live in one of those states, I'm going to suggest strongly to you that every bank account you own, every trust you own, no matter what kind of a trust it is owned tenants by the entirety. Do you have any comment on that?
Yes, I agree, Ron. That would be the beneficiary of the trust. So
it would
be the husband and wife jointly as the beneficiary of the trust. And then if anybody were going after one of you, then they spend the fortune to blow through the trust only to find out that the beneficiary is tenants by the entirety. And they can't go anywhere with their judgment. And I, frankly, this is a very important point to bring up, is that lawsuits often disappear, or even the opportunity for someone to bring a lawsuit in the first place often disappears when people see that it's going to be extremely costly for them to take you on. So it's a defensive move to go ahead and put your properties in trust now simply because it's going to be so expensive for the other side to come after you. And people really need to understand that you're not only getting the probate avoidance, you're not only getting the privacy, but you're actually setting yourself up so that if they do come after you, they're going to have to make a money decision. And many of those attorneys that would be very excited to take the case if the assets were in your name personally would not be so excited to take the case if they knew that it was in trust. So they're going to charge their client accordingly. They're going to say to their client, look, normally it would be a $5,000 retainer, but in this case it's a $10,000 retainer because I'm going to have to deal with this other entity. And often they have to actually learn about it, and they're going to charge their client to go research and study and learn about it too.
So, Lou, let's say I don't live in a TBE state. How do I protect myself if tenants by the entirety won't work in my state? How should I own these trusts? I mean, is there a better way than husband and wife? Or
I think so. Personally, I think it's something I call the paranoia scale. And it depends on where you are on the paranoia scale. But we kind of start with everybody first. Everybody should have their real estate and land trusts. and your personal property and personal property trust. But because of the characteristics of a land trust, it converts real estate to personal property. Now, what that allows you to do is have the beneficiary of the land trust be a personal property trust. So now, if anybody got through the land trust, all they do is find another trust, a different trust, as the beneficiary. Now they would have to go serve that trustee. They'd have to present interrogatories. They'd have to do depositions, discovery. They would have to do the whole steps to find out who the beneficiary of that trust is. Well, as you might imagine, another trust could be developed during that time, and even plugging in an LLC or a corporation as the beneficiary. So now what's happened is the real estate itself is in the land trust. They blow through that, find out there's a personal property trust, blow through that. Now they find out there's an LLC, which they can't blow through. So that's part of our overall strategy, depending on the amount of assets that you've actually got. The more you've got, the more we need to protect, and the more careful we need to be to protect those things. So we add additional layers depending on that.
Okay, you said you can't blow through an LLC. Explain.
All right, so let's say that somebody gets it. Well, first of all, in order to blow through all these things, they need to have a judgment. Now, they can find out some interesting things in discovery, but in discovery, all they're going to find out is that there's another beneficiary. So let's say that now we're at the discovery number two because they've already blown through the land trust. Now, at discovery number two, to find out about the personal property trust, they find out that the beneficiary is an LLC. Well, that LLC is not doing any business at all. It has no liability whatsoever. It's simply a beneficiary. It's simply a beneficiary of the personal property interests. So it didn't do any work. It didn't cause any pain on anybody. And if it got a judgment, then it would only be against the assets of that LLC, which happened to be only the beneficial interest of that particular trust. So it would be difficult to collect a lot of money from that LLC.
Well, they're not going to get a judgment against that LLC because it's not the principal
exactly.
out there in named in the lawsuit. Actually, they can't penetrate that LLC anyway. And if they did, there's still a manager there that's distributing the income and doesn't necessarily have to distribute that income. But if they did actually get a charging order against the LLC, then they'd be paying taxes on money they weren't getting. So that's a lot more confusing than I want to get into there. And way.
I didn't know you were going to go down that rabbit trail.
Well, I didn't know you were going to go down that rabbit hole. But honestly, I think we're probably overanalyzing the whole thing. The truth is that if you just put your stuff into trust from the beginning, it's likely you're never going to have to go beyond that. But the more you learn about what your rights are and what you can do and what you can't do, then the easier it is for you to think through it if and when you ever do have a problem. So let's start by just getting stuff out of your name, if we can accomplish that, and make sure you never own anything. Now, you know, let me put an exception on that. You know, I honestly think you should have a personal bank account and maybe even a personal joint bank account just so you look legitimate, but you never want to leave much money in it. And besides, nobody's going to get that money until they first get a judgment, like Lou clearly said. Don't forget that, guys and gals. They can't go grab your money while they're attacking you. They literally have to get a judgment before they can do squat. And that gives you an awful lot of time to empty a bank account. So,
well, my personal opinion is that there's no real problem with putting everything into trust because you're doing it for estate planning purposes. That's a primary reason for doing it.
Yep.
And avoiding probate. So no one should be ashamed of placing their property into trust. That's been around for a long time, and it's used as a very good tool
for
elder care, that kind of thing.
But then there's the ease of operation of getting through life, you know, Lou. Sometimes you have a check with a trust.
I've used mine for, I'll challenge you on that a little bit, Ron, because I've used mine since 1985, and you just add the words as trustee on every check, and you can write a check for anything that you want to buy. And nobody has any issues with it because it's you standing there, and you give your ID, and they process the check just like they normally would. But, you know, the most important thing really for people to understand, you know, I know a couple that had 140 single-family homes and two apartment complexes. They worked hard their entire career amassing all of that. They used LLCs. They did everything the attorneys told them to do, and they were evicting a tenant who was a lease option client, and, of course, they defaulted on their lease option because they stopped making their rent payments. Well, the tenant went to a legal aid attorney. Legal aid attorney looked up all the evictions they had done, went back to all those eviction people and said, hey, let's do a class action lawsuit against these people. Why? Because we've looked up on public records that they own 140 single-family homes and two apartment complexes, so there's plenty of money there. And they're going to try to – they're probably going to settle somewhere along the way, and somebody's going to get paid. So sure enough, they did exactly that. They ended up going after this family. And what people really need to understand is the law is not necessarily what you think it is. The law is something different. When these attorneys and these judges get into the courtroom, they do all kinds of crafty, crazy, amazing things. And what happened was they actually seized their assets. They took them all pre-judgment without a jury, without a trial, without any kind of due process. They actually placed their properties in receivership, pretending that, hey, these people could liquidate the assets and they could do all these things. So the judge went along with it, and all of a sudden, all of their properties are lost to them. They were put with special masters that were supposed to manage them. The two apartment complexes ended up getting lost in foreclosure because the stupid special masters didn't even make the payments while all this was going on. And then, of course, they lost all their income because they seized all the income off of the properties while they were trying to defend themselves. So they ended up spending $500,000 in legal fees and ended up losing literally everything they owned. And right now, this day, they still are in the business, but guess what? Every single property they buy is in trust. They are still doing what they were doing before, but nobody sees them. Nobody knows them. Nobody can look on public record and see that they own anything. And I think that's one of the most important things that people really need to hear, is that what you think is the reality of court and attorneys and judges is something different when you actually are faced with it. So the smartest thing you can really do is set yourself up in advance for the possibility that someday you could get sued.
A couple of points. If you think you have to do something wrong to get sued, it means you haven't been to court much. And you know, if you think there's really that much justice in the justice system, you haven't had too much experience with attorneys either. And there's no fairness. It ain't fair. You're correct. It absolutely is not fair, and nobody cares. So I'm telling you, sooner or later, if you're going to do anything, litigation is going to be part of your life, so you might as well prepare for it and be thinking about it before it's too late to do anything about it. So, Lou, I think we made our case, especially after you just scared the hell out of everybody. So, I mean, I'm depressed after hearing all of that stuff.
Well, the good news is they're still in the business. The good news is they're still doing business.
But they got some good training, didn't they?
Oh, man. They just wish. And they even said to me, Lou, I took your class before and didn't pay attention, didn't do it, and as a result, this is what happened. And so now, of course, they're clients of mine, and everything is absolutely hunky-dory. Nobody can see what they have.
How many times do you think I've heard the same story?
Oh, yeah. It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
All right. Well, that's why we do these calls. And in that light, I really appreciate you taking the time to do this. I know you got a lot of things going on in your life right now. So
yes, sir.
If I wanted to get a hold of Lou Brown, how would I do it?
Well, we've got a website that tells you more about trust. It's called MaximumAssetShield.com, MaximumAssetShield.com. And if you'd like to have a little free book It's MaximumAssetShield.com/book, B-O-O-K. That gives you more information about land trusts and personal property trusts. Or you can call our office at 1-800-578-8580. That's 1-800-578-8580. Be more than happy to help you learn more about trusts.
Well, thank you very much, sir, and I will be seeing you soon.
Awesome. Thank you, Ron. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Take care.
Papa.
I think he hung up.
Lou Brown, how you doing, baby?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you?
Good. It's Delinda. It's so, I don't know why I'm on this call. I'm supposed to talk to Ron at 1. I heard you guys talking. I was like, what the heck? Maybe I'm on the wrong channel.
How long
yeah,
you been
so
on?
I just got on, so I just heard the last part, but it's funny
okay.
because I just had an attorney in Raleigh set up 3 trusts for me, and now is where we're getting into all the issues, and so I'm like, uh-oh, I should have just gotten Lou's course.
Exactly, and charge you a fortune for something that you don't even have to have him for, but I've got lots of people in North Carolina using my trusts, I mean from every angle of that state, from coast to the mountains, and yeah, they work in North Carolina great.
Yeah, it's she charged me $2,500 to set each one up, and
come
yeah,
on, you're killing
no,
me.
No, I swear to God.
Oh my God,
I know,
you're
and now,
killing me.
I know. You know what? I'm lazy, right? I just wanted. I'm trying to learn Ron's method of delegation, so I wanted someone else to do it for me.
$7,500
yeah.
versus $1,500? Okay.
I know. I'm lazy.
You're a smart girl.
I know. Sometimes not so smart. But I actually have your course. I just didn't want to do it. I wanted someone else to do it.
Oh,
Green
come
McDonough!
On. Come on.
Man, I'm shooting
come
straight
on.
With you, dude.
Oh, you're killing me. Well, come to the next
yep.
training. I'll walk you through doing it so that all the future ones you won't have to spend a fortune doing.
I know, but Ron always
or if you can cancel any of those that they're doing. Oh, God, you're killing me, $2,500 per trust.
Oh, I know. And not only that, but now is where we're getting into the issues because the utility companies are like, who are you? You're not the trust. You're not
oh.
the trustee. Like, oh, God, here we go.
All right, so use my personal property trust to create a utility trust. And in other words, you're going to create a trust and it's only going to be used for utilities. And then when you turn the properties on, all of them use the same name. So you set up one account at the utility company and you use that same account for everything.
Okay. All right. When's the next trade?
And it has nothing to do with ownership. It has to do with who's turning on the utilities.
Right.
Otherwise, tenants
right.
wouldn't be able to turn utilities on, right? They don't own the property. So it's the once you set up the utility trust, which is easy to do because it doesn't own anything. So there's nothing to transfer into it. But you use that to actually establish the relationship with the utility company.
Hmm. Ruh-roh.
Aha.
Oh, brother. Okay.
Hello.
Hey.
I'll let you go. All right.
All right,
I was just talking to Delinda, Ron. Take it easy.
Bye, Lou.
Bye-bye. Take care.
All right, bye.
All right. Bye.
How was you talking to him? He just hung on the line?
I have no idea.
He piped
I
in.
In a
I'm trying to hang up.
Early. Yeah. I called in a few minutes early, and there you guys were.
Yeah.
Call,
he's gone.
Okay, he's gone. All right, good. What's going on, Papa?
How you doing? Give me 1 minute, will you?
Sure.
Okay, hon.
Are you going to the bathroom?
All right. Are you on a house phone or a cell phone?
I'm on a cell phone.
All right. Are you on a speaker or not?
Not anymore.
Okay, good. And you do sound a lot better.
Okay, good.
All right. I'm going to ask you at the end if you want to give out your phone number. So what's the answer before I ask, and I'll yes or no?
Yes.
All right. Okay, let me get the recorder on here. All right, here we go. Let me turn it on.